All right, summer's almost over, but luckily we've got a little over a month left to keep growing out before we have to stop that forever when the winter comes. Right now, Omaha Steaks is hooking you up it's an outrageous deal. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm like, I've read it three times because I think I must be reading it wrong. It's 50 items for $50. It's a dollar per hunk of meat. You got 8 boneless pork chops, 8 boneless chicken breasts, 8 ground beef sliders, 6 burgers, 8 gourmet jumbo franks, 8 kielbasa sausages, and 4 Delmonico burgers. That's brand new. If that doesn't get you going, I don't know what the hell to tell you right now. Get them now. Own the end of the cookout at the end of the summer. When the fall finally comes, when it's cold, everyone's going to be talking about your cookout at the end of the year where you had $50 worth of meat that you got for $50. I don't know how you can beat that. Like I said, 8 pork chops, 8 chicken breasts, 8 ground beef sliders, 6 burgers, 8 franks, 8 sausages, 4 Delmonico burgers. If you can beat that, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Go find that deal, but you won't be able to. Get it at Omaha Steaks. For that, you're going to go to get the exclusive package at omahasteaks.com, type KFC in the search bar, and get the Giants of Grilling combo in your cart. Again, visit omahasteaks.com, enter code KFC in the search bar, and get the Giants of Grilling combo for $49.99. Can't beat it.
The laziest hour of your day. It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
You listen to KFC Radio.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It's your boy KFC alongside super producer BC as we sit here freezing our asses off in the middle of the polar vortex. Been cold as fuck for a week now, but it doesn't really matter because we're coming to you live. No, we're coming to you pre-recorded from the cozy confines of the Donut Shop of Love, aka my bedroom. I don't think people quite understand the whole mail time production. Because we're basically mailing in mail time. Beardo asked me the other day, so are you and your brother in the same room when you do the show? Or is it like, does he call in? Is it like Google, the same way you do with Big Cat and Feidelberg? I was like, no, bro. He's sitting next to me. We're in my bedroom. We sit like 2 feet apart at the same exact desk.
Yeah, you say mailing it in. I think this is mailing it in would be sitting at home doing the stupid Google Hangout.
We
bring some high quality shit to you.
Yeah, no, it's high quality, but I'm saying it's not. We're not in like a studio setup here. No. We bought like a couple $100 worth of equipment. We got some Beats headphones. It's about the nicest thing we got going for us.
The headphones cost more than the entire production.
So these
laptops that we use right now are probably worth about $75.
Depreciating value for sure. Yeah, so right now I'm sitting here 2 feet from him. Your boy Duncan is chowing down on a bone, and he just knocked over a glass of water, which fell into his dog bed, which he's thrown up in multiple times. And it like somehow activated the throw-up smell that I thought I had cleaned out, but I guess I didn't get fully in there.
I'm suffocating right
now. It is very toasty and smells like vomit right now as I record. So, yes, we're in the polar vortex. Yes, everyone's freezing their ass off, but I'll tell you right now, I'm kind of sweating, and I have this taste in the back of my throat where like I'm getting the saliva producing, and it feels like I'm going to throw up. Just so I can paint the picture, I'm going to Bob Ross this for you and paint the picture of how this mail time episode is going to go. I might throw up at
some point. It's not glamorous. I didn't think anybody thought this was cool
But we ain't in like the serious studios or none of that shit. We're sitting at my desk in my tiny-ass Manhattan apartment. But it is fucking cold as shit for everyone else out there. A lot of you, I hope, are listening to this on your commute home. You got the KFC Radio app. I hope my premium consumers are happy. But a lot of you are probably listening as you're getting on the bus, off the bus, on the subway, walking home in your car, whatever it may be. You're probably freezing your dick off.
Somebody tweeted that their New Year's resolution was to only listen to KFC Radio at the gym so that they would go to the gym.
That's
not going to work. It's not going to work.
That is a hell of an idealistic approach But it ain't gonna work, bro.
It's that's baffling to me. Like, if someone's listening to this while they're like bettering themselves and working hard, good
more,
for you.
More
guys.
You know what? It's kind of a paradox, though. People have told me before they actually get more work done at their job when they're tuned in because they just kind of zone out and bang shit out. So maybe people can get in shape too. Probably not, though, because all we do is talk about really fucked up, weird shit and being fat. We make fun of people who go to the gym, so you're not really gonna be motivated. So sorry to that dude. But a lot of you probably are freezing your dicks off, and vaginas. We have learned there's a few girls out there. Do girls freeze their pussies off? I don't know. Girls, get at me. Let me know. It's a trying time for a cube monkey when it's this fucking cold.
This is bad.
Well, this technically, this literally, it was the coldest it's ever been as far as like anyone who's under the age of 100.
Really?
Like the coldest. Was that bad? I think it was like the coldest it's been since 1896. Yeah, so this is like legit the worst it's ever been. Because and I bring that up because I get a lot of tweets now from the army of cube monkeys when they're miserable at work. And they're always tweeting me shit that their coworkers are saying. And I'm getting a lot of complaints about people being like, cold out there, bro. Like, hey, how's it going? Like, trying to stay warm. Or like, finishing off emails with, like, stay warm. All that kind of shit.
Cold enough out there for you?
Yeah. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. It's cold enough out there for you. It's fucking, that's horrible. Okay. Someone says that, you can punch them in the stomach. But all the other stuff, all the other small talk about the winter and the cold, when it's this fucking cold, it's going to happen.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to lump that in with like the guy who says, I didn't get the memo that we're all wearing blue shirts or the see you next years or any of that. Those are horrible things that are inexcusable. When it's -5, the only thing people are going to be talking about is how much it sucks outside.
Right, right.
And the only thing worse then the people talking about how cold it is the people complaining about it, the people who are talking about how cold it is. You know what I mean? This is the one time you just got to kind of be a little bit socially conforming.
Right.
Put up with the small talk, make a couple jokes about the cold, and keep it moving.
You know what it reminded me of? Your boy Nate was live tweeting WWF, which I haven't watched in so long, but I loved when I watched it, you know, back in the day.
When mid-90s, no, like late 90s. I mean, I loved like Hulk Hogan and that kind of shit, but that was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like the Stone Cold, Rock, DX, Vince McMahon era.
Yeah.
Could be like my favorite thing ever.
Yeah.
Like it was way more enjoyable than any sports I've ever watched. It was more enjoyable than the Mets, the Knicks, anything that I've ever really enjoyed watching. That might be the most fun.
That and late 90s rap, which we will get into later.
Oh, yeah.
But your boy Nate just tweeted, I don't know what was going on, but he tweeted that he was marking out. And that was like a wrestling term that I remember from like the forums and stuff like that. And that was when you were like giving in and you were just like, you know, totally like whatever WWE, they wanted you to cheer now and you were cheering. So he said,
you're mark. Yeah.
Reminded me. So that's what, when I was talking about the weather.
You're marking
out. I felt like I was marking out. But I was like, you know what?
Sometimes
you've got to mark out.
Do it. You know? Absolutely have to do it. So, and this is one of those times. So cube monkeys, put up with it. But that's very easy for me to say right now because I don't have to commute anymore.
You dick.
Now, I firmly believe I always catch heat from fucking haters who are like, dude, you worked a cube job for like 1 year and you're milking it. First of all, that shit was like 4 years, okay? Pushing 5. So I was there for a while. It was enough for my soul to drain out. Secondly, I always say you can take the monkey out the cube. You can't take the cube out the monkey. But the one thing that I just can't really relate to anymore is that commute.
Such a dick.
Now, I mean, the best part about getting out of corporate America, other than the inherent, like, you become a human again. Like, you're not, like, wilting away as a human and eventually dying on the inside. That's clearly the best part of getting out of your cage. But the actual best tangible day-to-day thing is not having to commute. Not having to get up, get ready.
It's also the reason you're all going to be grossly obese.
Well, we'll get into that in a moment. We'll get into that in a moment. But, yes, when you don't have to the winter is the worst period because forget about polar vortex, just normal winter. You bundle up, you got your scarf, and you're fucking. By the way, don't knock anybody for wearing scarves.
No,
if you knock people for that, you are a grade A hardo. Scarves are I don't know, maybe there's other places where people are not, it's not as cold, but I need a scarf 100% when it's this cold out.
Yeah.
Side rant there, I'm just saying. Scarves are legit. But then you're all warm as shit. Then you get in the subway and you're sweating your dick off.
Yeah,
and then you're back outside and it's freezing again and you have like sweat on you. It's terrible.
When was the last time you were on the subway? It's been a good run.
You're such an asshole.
When I was going over to Sirius a lot, like through the fall, it was at least like, you know, back and forth once a week at least, which is, I know that's not a lot, but I'm saying it's enough where you get a taste of like, oh, I remember why this is so fucking terrible.
Yeah.
I don't really go anywhere when it's this cold out, so I haven't been on a bus, I haven't been in a cab, I haven't been on a subway, I haven't done anything because I just stay put. And that's the best part of having this job. So me sitting here telling you to be like, just put up with the small talk as you go to work and your soul is cold, I realize is a dick move. I'm just trying to guide you in the right way, but I feel for you, dude. That commute right now has to be top five worst thing going in your life.
When I woke up, I you know, like, I don't check the weather all that often. There's been plenty of times where I've stepped outside and it was pouring rain and I didn't even realize it.
I don't ever check the weather.
Yeah, all right.
But what was that? No, I'm saying,
I know you don't need to ever check the weather.
No, but
I get it, bro.
I never did though. Like, I maybe would pull the blinds and look outside.
Okay.
If there's rain or if not.
Okay, so when you were
I'm saying in general. Anytime if I'm going out for the night, I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck it's gonna be.
All right,
just,
maybe people don't check the. I feel like that's a thing I'm supposed to be doing now. And like, what's the weather gonna be like? I never know.
There's a lot of things you should be doing with your life.
And
sitting here in my puke bedroom right now is not one of them.
That's very accurate. But when I checked the weather before I was getting out, and it was 5 degrees, I was like, I've never seen
that. I saw that. I was like, refreshing. I was like, or I thought, you know how you have different like cities on your thing?
Yeah.
I was like, this must be Vermont or
and
some
then
shit.
I bundle up layers on layers on layers, and then I'm actually overestimating how cold it is. I'm about to step outside, and I think it's going to be like Arctic. And when you first step out, I was like,
it's not so bad.
Isn't that bad.
Yep.
Because there was no wind when I first stepped out. The gentlest breeze, like I thought,
rattles your bones.
It was like where your face is so cold, it feels hot.
Yep, it starts to sting.
And this is New York, like it hasn't Chicago been like this for like the last like 14 days.
Yeah, I don't know if Big Cat's gonna survive.
Like,
it's a good thing he's got that layer of blubber at this point because I don't know if he could make it through the
things
vortex.
That aren't supposed to freeze over are freezing over. Like, aren't the rivers are moving water? I thought that was like not supposed to freeze. That's
salt water is freezing, moving water is freezing. There's frozen dog piss everywhere, and that shit is disgusting. It's like, oh, I slipped on ice. No, add insult to injury. You slipped on dog piss.
That's disgusting.
So, yes.
Polar vortex. How about that term?
What a great term. I mean, whoever came up with that at the Weather Channel is cashing in right now because that has just been – that's just like hits on hits on hits on the internet.
I'm surprised Barstool doesn't have a polar vortex t-shirt yet.
Who says we don't have one coming out? Speaking of getting out of the cubes, I just want to do a quick little roundup here, a little Barstool, take care of Barstool business. Barstool, Iowa, now in the mix. A lot of people are coming at me like, Iowa? What the fuck is that about? Listen, man, it ain't Trent's fault. That's his name, Trent.
Trent.
I can't even say without laughing. The only Trent I've ever known is Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails. Remember that dude?
Yeah, the only Trent you've ever known.
Yeah, well, I just don't know any other Trents. I feel like there's a couple Trents somewhere in sports, but I can't even think of them off the top of my head. Anyway, his name's Trent. Not Trent's fault that he's stuck in Iowa. Like, dude's a funny writer, and he actually emailed Prez about he had his own blog on the side, and he emailed Dave about some t-shirt shit, and Dave read it and was like, I actually like your shit. And Trent wrote back like, are you fucking for real? I'm in Iowa. Dave was like, yeah, dude. I mean, we can't make it. Unfortunately, Iowa's just not a big enough market for it, so we can't have it be like a whole new city of the empire. But, you know, there's still Iowa football fans. There's 100,000 people every Saturday watching football in the stadium. They're still out there. So he's going to write, you know, pretty much strictly Iowa stuff for all you flyover state poor souls. And we'll see where it goes. But guy's a funny writer, so don't hold his weird, lame state against him. Iowa. I don't even know if I could point that out on a map. That's not saying much, though. I'm terrible at geography, but whatever. And your boy, Milmore. Milmore might be the greatest hire in Barstool history. He's the dude responsible for Barstool shorts.
He's going to have to put himself in one of these shorts now.
I don't know. That's kind of cocky. That's like...
Oh, yeah. Cocky and Barstool never go together.
Touché.
That's your boy, KFC.
Come on. Come on. This is going to be... This soundboard, I don't know if this thing's going to work out.
Yeah, this is going to be a disaster. What we're going to do is break you off with the most ridiculous rap lyrics episode. We'll get into that in a moment, but yeah, so Stool Milmore, he makes the Barstool shorts. He's brought on full-time. He can do a lot of shit
with videos and GIFs and animation and all that kind of stuff. He actually kind of has some skills other than just being a dumb dickhead.
Shout out to anybody like that, too, because I've posted a few things, tweeted a few things, hired a few interns. Nobody can do anything.
People are just not very talented.
Nobody can do anything.
People can't do anything.
One of the people applying for the internship was like, I'm terrible with computers.
You should not work on the internet, bro.
I was like,
well, I don't know, dude. Dave Portnoy, I mean, it's a goddamn miracle he works on the internet.
Yeah.
He can't figure out emails. He can't figure out tweets.
I just don't know if that's the internet. I just don't know if that's what I'd lead with, though. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe there's like,
no, here's the difference between Trent and Millmore and the rest of the people. Millmore just made Fire Flames videos. He just made Fahrenheit 451 book burning flame videos. And sent them over, and we were like, these are awesome. This is unbelievable.
Right.
Trent was just writing his own blog. See, Trent was not ever setting up a blog with the intention of going to Barstool. He was just like, I like blogging about Iowa shit. So you can tell that in his writing.
Right. I mean, you had For Sure Not.
Dan had the hot glove.
Yeah, almost everybody was doing this stuff already. Right.
And it just comes – that's what translates better in Barstool. When you send me a sample blog where you're just like mimicking all the other jokes that have already been made and you're kind of just like a carbon copy or an amalgam of everyone who – yeah, it just doesn't work. So that was kind of the difference. People are always asking me, you know, how do you get hired? And it's like these guys were just making awesome content with no expectations of being paid or coming into the fold, and that's when people's best work shines through. So,
well, do you remember when
it smells so bad in here. It's like the puke smell is going up my nose. It's unbelievable.
How do you live with this guy?
Well, this is very rare. Like I said, it was the puke activation. It was activated by the water that he knocked over, so it's still his fault.
Do you remember back in the day, somebody made a cartoon like that, remember? It started with an iPhone versus like a Galaxy. It was a Best Buy thing, and they could somehow add voices to the animation. And somebody made a Barstool one, and you were like, oh, can you make more? And he was like, I want to get paid.
Yeah, yeah. There was somebody who did originally what Millmore did without – Millmore makes his actual own drawings.
Customized.
This was just like little like stick figures.
But it was mildly funny. It wasn't Fire Flames funny.
He was like, I want $500 an episode. I was like, get the fuck out of my face.
Right. But Millmore just did work. And eventually it worked out for him. I mean, maybe it wouldn't. You know, you never know. It's not like you make one funny thing and Dave Portnoy is just going to, like, hire you full-time immediately. But it clearly does work out sometimes.
So that's the way you get out of the cube. You don't want to commute in your polar vortex. You want to try to do something like this. You can't really fake it. You got to be good at something, like you said. And you got to do it, like, honestly. And that's how you get out.
But shout out to, like, all those people with actual skills. Like, you should, like, if you want to do something like this, learn Photoshop. Learn GarageBand. I emailed tons of potential interns because I just want somebody to edit the podcasts for me.
There has to be someone out there that can do this other than my like, man BC.
Because I learned how to do it in like 2 days. So if you want to get some type of in, if I could get somebody to edit this shit, just watch a 20-minute YouTube tutorial on how to edit in GarageBand.
This is the official call, then. We're doing the official. It's open season for KFC Radio.
Or can
you
make Beardo
interns.
Do it? Can we make T-Bone do this shit or something?
We're calling you out, too, then, T-Bone and Beardo. It's the official.
Actually, I have my own intern. I should probably make him do it. Shout out to the Dirty
I
Mike.
Have my own intern.
I don't really know what
okay,
he does.
Okay, tough guy.
I don't know.
Jesus Christ. All right, let's get into this, the theme of this episode. As you heard, the lovely serenading sounds of M.O.P., Cold as Ice, starting you off. Everyone knows by now that I'm like a hip-hop. I don't want to say old school. I guess it kind of is old school now because 2014 already.
School, yeah.
That like late 90s golden era of rap is my shit. Like I just said, WWF in that period and rap music in that period was like the best period of my life.
Well, remember what I sent you earlier in the week? The tribute song, I'll Be Missing You.
20 years old, right?
17 years ago. So basically that's when Biggie died. 17 years ago.
That's a full adult lifetime ago.
Yeah.
Or a full childhood time ago. Like 17 years, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like they're graduating from high school now, and they were born when Biggie died.
Yeah, that blows my mind. So last week, we got an email from... Hova. We got an email from Rock Nation.
It's the Rock.
I put up a blog. It's the Rock in your building. We put up a blog about Geno Smith's dick pic, which went viral.
I feel like that was the only responsible thing for a bunch of smut bloggers to do.
I didn't even bat an eyelash at that.
Right.
Because there's, I mean, we got this email. It was like a cease and desist from Rock Nation letterhead that said, like, attention Barstool Sports, because Jay-Z reps Geno now as an athlete. And I, K Marco G-chatted me. I put up the blog on New York, and then Dave got the cease and desist. So I never knew that was coming until it was on the blog on Boston. So I didn't see it right away, and K Marco G-chats me, bro, did you get us sued again? And my heart fucking jumped up into my throat or sank into my belly or whichever that expression is to explain that. I was like, no, because I am always doing shit that gets us sued one way or another or almost sued or definitely sued, but we get like off the hook on a miracle technicality. So I immediately check the blog and I see this letter from Rock Nation, and
like on Rock Nation letterhead.
Yeah, like the fact that there's even Rock Nation letterhead is, I wish it was Rockefeller. That would have been that much better. But for me, like if you could have told 22-year-old Cube Monkey me one day, A, you're going to be blogging about,
or 17-year-old Black KFC.
Well, that would have been the best. Like one day Rockefeller is going to reach out to you and be mad at you. I mean, obviously it's not coming from Jay-Z. I'm not trying to say Jay penned this letter and we're in a feud with him. But the fact that I was A, blogging about a big black quarterback's chubby penis, and B, that Jay-Z's people would be sending a cease and desist letter was, it would just, I would never, ever, ever believe it. I mean, I tweeted out that day, you know, casual conversation with your mom, like, hey, honey, how was work today? Well, I was blogging about Geno Smith's cock, and Jay-Z is not happy about it. But don't worry, my boss has my back, because we're just a bunch of Wild West internet renegades who don't give a fuck about the rules or anything. The best part about that cease and desist was that I think the wording was like, that is our client's property. It wasn't like it's not him, this is slander, this is libel. They were like, that's his picture of his dick. Can you just please stop putting it on your website?
I don't understand anything about the law that, like, that, well, he didn't, it, that like, picture, dude, wasn't stolen from
that
him.
That is your dick. That is no longer your picture. That is the internet's picture. like it's been swallowed up by the sea. It's been swallowed up by the internet, the smut world.
Everyone's had the same problem every time they try on a new button-down shirt. It's either too short, shows the belt, too long, goes down to your knees, you look like a kid in dad's clothes. UNTUCKit has found the solution for that. What UNTUCKit did, they got a bunch of scientists together, stolen from NASA, stolen from all the fancy science places, and they said, you know what we need you to do? Create us the best shirt possible. They were successful. What the UNTUCKit shirt is, it's designed to wear untucked. So you don't have to tuck it in like a fancy boy. Again, you don't have to look sloppy. It goes over the belt buckle to cover that up, but still shows the pocket. It's the perfect innovative length. We're selling those right now for 20% off. You can get them with promo code KFC at untuckit.com. Looking good in a long sleeve button down shirt. It's how you look sharp. It makes all the difference in the entire world. You want to impress a girl. You want to impress a girl's parents. You want to pick up a new girl. You want to do anything. You're probably going to need a button down and not some, you know, band t-shirt you got at a concert in 96. Get an UNTUCKit shirt made to look great. UNTUCKit.com. Promo code KFC. 20% off all purchases.
So between Hova reaching out and all that
hollering,
all that madness, I decided we're going to do a little hip-hop episode. I'm not going to sit here and break down the best lyricist of all time. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some of the worst lyrics of all time. That way, listen, if you're a hip-hop fan, you'll know these lyrics and you'll laugh about them. If you're not a hip-hop fan, you're probably one of those people who hates on it all the time, and you could be like, see, this is exactly why rock and roll music is better, because they don't sing about things like this. So you can knock it. Hip-hop fans will enjoy it. So what we'll do right now is, these are lyrics that they are stupid, they don't make sense, they're just hilarious, all the above. We're just going to run through them. We'll talk some reactions, we'll talk some hip-hop, and we'll have some laughs. So let's start it off. What do we got? Big pun! First of all, he'll rip his prick through your Hooters. Now that is about as romantic as it gets. I will rip my prick through your Hooters. And what kind of prick is it? It's a dick that if you had six rulers, it still would not be enough to measure it. 72-inch penis. Right? Six rulers, 6 times 12, 72 inches. Now, this is also big pun.
You have to, like, paint the whole picture of what
big pun was probably, what, 5 feet tall, 5 feet wide.
I know.
He was a perfect square.
I had no idea. He was, like, 5'2". I had no idea he was that short.
He was literally a perfect square.
Because he was, like, 600 pounds,
right? Yeah, he was above. I think he was, like, almost 700 pounds at one point. I think he used to be shredded when he was, like, younger. Then he got so fucking fat.
In one song, he goes, I just lost 100 pounds. I'm trying to live. You got down to 600.
And you didn't live,
and
dude.
And you died.
You died because you were still 600
pounds. But 5'2", I mean, not that, like, if you're, what are you, 5'10 and 700 pounds, it's better. But 5'2".
Is that really the number, 5'2"?
I think he's like 5'2", 5'3".
Because I know he just looked like a perfect equilateral square.
I'm pretty sure I looked it up. I think he's like 5'2", 5'3".
And the best part was these songs like I'm Not a Player and this remix, I'm Still Not a Player, where he's like, I've been eating cunt since Pimps was rolling with the fish tank bumps. You know, like, all his songs were like horribly graphic, disgusting sex.
There was a skit on one of his albums where he was like banging two girls and
yes,
like getting them to go down on each other.
On Capital Punishment, I remember that. Yeah. And it was like so graphic, and there was like the sex noises. And then you think about, like,
he says, I might put away the wood and give you the mustache.
Oh, imagine Big Pun's mustache on your punan. As he rips his 72-inch prick through your Hooters. Now, at first I was like, that's just ridiculous. But you know what? For a dude who's 5 feet tall, 5 feet wide, 600 pounds, like, his dick might be 72 inches long. Who knows?
If he's using it, it probably has to be that long.
Just to get around. When I lift the belly and put it in the mouth like Acanelli. I mean, when him and Fat Joe and Cuban Link and all those dudes were the kings of talking about running train. And think about that train, dude.
Disgusting train.
That is a horrid train. When Fat Joe is like the skinny one of the bunch, holy cow. But that, dude, Pun was great. He had a run. I mean, like all the other rappers who died, it was short, but Capital Punishment and
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. Oh, I mean, that was some shit. But no better rhyme than you couldn't measure my dick with 6 rulers. You couldn't measure my dick
with 6 rulers. Hold on. Great stuff.
Next up on the list. Who your name is? Where you from? Turn around.
Who you came with? Is that jazz or your mama half reindeer? We just jammed out to that.
Yeah, we absolutely should have had a video cast to this one at the same time. Just know that right now you have two white boys, one in a blue and red, like Freddy Krueger.
Come on.
Now,
Freddy Krueger.
Well, let's just go with
Freddy. I have a Freddy Krueger sweater.
It's like a preppy Freddy Krueger thing from The Gap.
From The Gap.
With a white collar popping out. And I have my Entenmann's Donut shirt on. And we're just rocking out to these
sweatpants?
Songs. Yeah, Barstool sweatpants. I don't ever put on jeans anymore. I've degraded very, very quickly.
Jeans are now the dressing.
Yeah,
up
no, I'm like, oh, I can't put on denim today. It's got to be straight cotton all day. I'm like George when he drapes himself in velvet. So this is Nelly, P. Diddy, and the Lunatics, I think. St. Lunatics, Shake Your Tail Feather. This is an interesting one because my whole life I've been reading.
So like 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, literally my whole life. From the first day I heard this, I've been reading, I've been screaming, I've been singing this song. Is that your ass or your mama have reindeer? Is
that
your ass
or your mama have reindeer? That's what he says, man.
I mean, to me, this is why this lyric spawned this whole episode,
right?
Because
it's the
I
most
run
ridiculous
around,
rap lyric of
I
all
mean
time.
in everyday life situations I will just scream out, is that your ass or your mama have reindeer? And
people
are like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I don't know what I'm talking about, because why would you compare an ass, why would your mother have a reindeer, what, a pet reindeer? So I
bet Mo is cringing.
Oh yeah, so well no I actually no that's not true, because I g-chatted him that lyric and he just said ha 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 back. He didn't correct me. But who did correct me was rapgenius.com. For all you white folk out there who want to keep up with the black folks, you can look up these songs and it has a description. So I look up the lyrics, and little do I know, Nelly is saying, is that your ass or your mama half reindeer? Is that your ass or your
mama half reindeer? Yeah, that's probably it.
So what he's saying is your mother is half, what's a reindeer? What like genre of animal is that? Like a horse type animal, whatever a horse is.
Yeah, it's an equine. We'll say it's a half equine animal. Those that are known for having big haunches and big legs and big ass. It's kind of like, what does Kanye say? Ass so fat that she could have won a horse award or some shit like that.
Now I'm wondering if that's what he actually says.
We might have to look that up as well, because clearly we don't actually know what these black folks are saying. So Nelly is saying your ass is so fat that your mother might be half human, half equine, which is a word we've made up to define reindeers. Shout to Nelly, who pretty much made, I think Nelly's worth upwards of like $100 million.
Really?
I think it's like $80 million for
he
songs.
He was massive.
But for shit like this. Like,
well, yeah, because you know what? Remember,
Ride With Me Alone is worth $55 million in my book. So
there are songs that still seem like they're like brand new to me that are actually like so old. I can't remember which song this was, though, but Jay-Z was saying, only ones you move in units is M, Pimp Juice, and Us. And Pimp Juice
is Nelly. So
Jay-Z and Eminem are fabulously wealthy.
And he was moving records right along there with them.
Yeah.
By the way, can you guys hear this? Hear that? That is me. I'm just constantly spraying Febreze right now because it just smells so fucking bad in here.
It's disgusting.
The roommate is going to be furious when she comes home and smells this. If you've been following along, you know that she's probably not too happy with me right now anyway. And coming home to a puke-filled room is not going
she's
to help the
definitely
cause.
Definitely not happy with you.
Let's keep it moving. Next on my worst rap lyrics list, who do we got? Come on!
Come on! But they don't hear me though. But they don't hear me though.
Here we go.
But they don't. I got blood on my hands and there's no remorse. I got blood on my dick because I fucked the corpse. I'm a nasty nigga.
I mean, DMX epitomizes all that is Black KFC. Whatever little shred, Black KFC and White KFC are kind of like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And right now, I'm obviously like 90% White KFC. But that last little 10% shred is basically just being, it's the anchor is Dark Man X. DMX, his like rise to glory was probably like 98-ish, 97, 98, 99-ish.
Yeah, 98 was Rough Riders Anthem.
So that was It's Dark and Hell is Hot, which I still to this day will tell you is one of the best musical albums of all time. So there was a period where, you know, 15-year-old me, 14-year-old me, whatever, was walking around rocking Willie Esco and Rockaware and Sean John. And I would just walk around doing things like, but you don't hear me though. Barking and screaming like a goddamn idiot. And then I hear a lyric like this now. Like, there was a point where I was, like, playing Nintendo 64, playing, like, Zelda, okay? Like, as white as it gets,
playing CDs.
Two guys playing Ocarina of Time, popping in, yeah, the It's Dark and Hell is Hot. No, was this Dark and Hell is Hot? This might have been,
This
is
Bring Your Whole Crew?
This was, A Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood.
Yeah, which came out like the same year.
Yeah,
it was
like 7 months later, because that's how fucking nasty DMX was owning the rap game at that point. I was playing Ocarina of Time, and I'm popping in a DMX CD, and I'm rapping along. I've got blood on my hands because I killed a corpse, and I got blood on my dick because I fucked a corpse. What? What?
The cover of the Flesh of My Flesh, he's just
draped
in
blood.
Like,
well, he just fucked a corpse, Brendan. It's all over his dick because he had sex with a dead body. As a male who's now getting married and pushing 30, probably eventually going to have a family one day, I look back on myself screaming, I've got blood on my dick and I fucked a corpse. I'm a nasty N-word. I'm not going to lie. It's a real soft spot in my heart. I love it. It was fucking amazing. At the same time, I'm like, where was my father and my mother? They must have hated this period of time.
Now,
there's Kevin running upstairs to his bedroom talking about fucking corpses again with that black man music playing. They must have wanted to disown me on the spot.
Absolutely. People always make fun of you like, oh, I bet your parents are real proud. We've set this precedent the whole time.
Bro, this right now is better than it was back then. Right. They're probably like, fine, blog about dicks and farts and celebrity butts. As long as you're not talking about DMX anymore and you're wearing white people clothes, we are thrilled.
But there are, you know, there were the executives. I think this was Def Jam.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think, like, Jay-Z, is Jay-Z still in charge of Def Jam? Remember, he was, like, president of Def Jam, but Def Jam?
Yeah, you're having trouble with that. Jeff Jam?
But there are, you know, the people who own all this stuff. Who signs off on these lyrics?
Oh, I mean, we'll get into, I mean, yeah, the fact that you know that at the top of every label, except for, like you just said, when Jay-Z was, like, a fake owner, is some, like, white Jewish guy, or somewhere along the lines, the higher-ups are people who just know the business side of things.
Right.
And they have to – they obviously it worked, but they were probably like, we're going to go sell like 10 million records with this. Yep, this dude who is clearly mentally unstable. Like, can you imagine some of those meetings with DMX in like the A&R meetings in like conference rooms in corporate America with DMX all coked out like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Talking about fucking corpses.
I feel like
– I'd picture a guy being like – all right, listen, yo, D, like, we love the album. We just, like, one request. Can we get rid of the corpse fucking line? And he's like, nah, dude. No, dog.
See, that's what worries me, because I'm pretty sure there was stuff taken out.
Yeah, so what didn't make the
what
cut?
What did they force him to take out that they were, like, okay?
That makes the
with
cut.
The necrophilia.
I'm telling you, man, that period, it was, like, DMX and Nintendo 64 and WWF.
So weird.
And it was the absolute, like, most fun period of my whole life. It was, like, right when, like, booze and pussy hadn't completely taken me over and my life wasn't consumed by that. And I was just, like, you know, good-hearted, good fun, racially confused kid just having a blast.
Because WWF was pretty white, too. It was like a...
Except for the Nation of Domination.
Right, right.
D'Lo Brown and the Ho Train. Who was the pimp? Godfather?
Yeah.
The pimp?
No, but I'm just saying, I feel like the fan base of
that. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's white trash, the max, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. But that was a great period of my life, which was incredibly embarrassing and thoroughly enjoyable. What do we got? As much as DMX's murder and, like, I think rape and devil talk, he did those songs where he was talking with the devil and shit. That was pretty fucking weird. But nothing, maybe in my entire life as a rap fan, compares to. Can you? By the way, can you hear Duncan just chowing down on that? I don't know if you guys can hear that. Let me get the mic closer.
Go ahead, Dunks. Chew.
Yeah, that's Dunks' first appearance on Mail Time. Just chowing down on a bone. As long as he's not puking or shitting, I'm happy. So the weirdest thing, probably as far as I'm concerned in hip hop history, comes from probably the weirdest group of all time. Wu-Tang Clan off their first album, 36 Chambers.
Yeah. Torture, motherfuckers. I fucking tie you to a fucking bedpost with your ass cheeks spread out and shit, right? Put a hanger on a fucking stove and let that shit sit there for like a half hour. Take it off and stick it in your ass slow like.
He does the sound of the...
Yeah, I fucking lay your nuts on a fucking dresser.
Just your nuts.
Laying on a fucking dresser and bang them shits with a spike fucking bat. Blah!
What are they doing? Like battling with weird torture things?
Fucking tongue out your fucking mouth and stab the shit with a rusty screwdriver.
I fucking hang you by your fucking dick off the fucking 12-story building out this motherfucker.
I fucking
that one sucked.
I fucking sew your asshole clothes and keep feeding you
and feeding you and feeding you
and feeding you.
The weirdest thing is I have like most of this memorized. Like I remembered that. Feeding you.
Bang them shits with a spike bat is forever burned into my brain.
That was so weird.
The fact that I mean, and then it goes on to be, you know, it's Method Man, the song Method Man, which is like one of the dopest songs I love. Yeah. And this was back when you were like listening to CDs, and it was like you had to put up with the skits.
Yeah, you just listen to them.
And the intros. Even this part, it's like, the old dirty bastard, Inspector Dak Raekwon, the chef. You guard, ghost face killer, and the M-E-T-H-O-D, man. Like, goes into a fucking great song. But the first minute and a half was talking about sewing assholes shut and banging balls like, with spiked baseball bats.
You know, that's when they had no intention of attracting a white audience because they were like, we should cut out all that torture part and just put the catchy beat and like the actual good song.
I think they wanted to keep the white folks away. I think they wanted this for themselves and they were like, let's do a torture intro.
It's so weird.
I mean, and that, again, the CD would be on, and the one song would end, and the torture intro would start for the first minute of Method Man.
I know your mom would, like, walk in.
You're like, just turn that down! Turn that shit down!
You're playing 64.
Again.
Like, bang them shits with a spike bat.
I mean, that has to be worse than DMX, worse than Onyx, worse than the nastiest of the nasty. Method Man and... I think Ghostface? No, it was Raekwon.
Yeah.
Talking about shoving, sizzling coat hangers up your asshole, banging your ball sack with a spike bat, sewing your asshole shut and feeding you until you explode. And the worst one was Method Man pulling your tongue out and then stabbing it with a rusty screwdriver. Like, bro, my tongue's already out of my head. Why would the rusty screwdriver even bother me at that point? Hey, Method, you're not a great torturer. You're not a very logical torturer, okay, bro?
Wu-Tang was a weird bunch.
I mean, nine dudes, combined child support payments of like $3 billion a year. Really, I mean, Method Man was that dude. And then there was like Ghostface and RZA made the beats. But then like the hangers-on at the end, like U-God
wasn't out.
No,
he was not in it.
Capadonna wasn't in it. Like Raekwon had his out. GZA actually was dope. I guess a lot of them were good, but like U-God needs to take a fucking hike. Bro.
Yeah,
but there's only nine of us. I think we can kick you out.
Wasn't there also like Masta Killa and High Priest or some weird shit that was like they all had aliases. So there was nine guys, but there was actually 18 names.
Johnny Blaze and Iron Lung.
Yeah,
shit.
Who was Johnny Blaze?
Method Man
was Johnny Blaze. And
see, you really get
Ghostface was Iron Man and also Tony Stark because that's
his alias now.
Man. That's he had an alias, and then Alias 2 was Alias.
This is a very
GZA and RZA.
It's a very touchy episode to talk about as a white fella.
GZA was the genius.
The Wu-Tang is probably the blackest thing of all time. Let's just say that, and I love them, so I'm not knocking it. But let's all just agree that the Wu-Tang Clan, between their like. Obsession with Japanese kung fu and all like, their whole like how big they were, their entourage, their lyrical content, and their aliases. Wu-Tang Clan's the blackest thing of all time. I can't even think. I mean, maybe like Malcolm X and the Black Panthers. That's about it. Everything else pales in comparison when we're talking blackness and Wu-Tang Clan.
And the next section comes from the Wu-Tang Clan.
Your boy Ghostface. Before we play these, because you're not even gonna understand what is being played, and that's the point. Ghostface, I think, sometimes wrote lyrics like he was just like Mad Libs. Like they would like pick out a verb, a noun, and an adjective, and like just scramble them up.
Not a lot of rap makes sense, but I think he was just listing things.
Well, let's play these three clips, and then I'm gonna need you. Duncan just snaked a bone right out of my pocket. What a little thief. And then I'm gonna need you. I don't even know if I can break these down. I think I'm gonna need you to repeat them. Goldie and Ghost, Black African Rope, Star Studded Lowland, just plus the mural is dope. I got Black African Rope and a mural is dope.
Yeah. Goldie and Ghost,
Black African Rope, Star Studded Lowland, just plus the mural is dope.
Black African Ropes,
Star Studded. Goldie and Ghost, Black African Rope, Star-Studded Low Lenses, plus the mural. Star-Studded Low Lenses. Now, I'm sure...
this might be things that we just don't know about.
Right. Now, I'm sure, you know, a black dude from whenever these Wu-Tang songs were coming out, we're probably like, yeah, dude, like, low-lens glasses were fucking fire.
I guess, yeah.
But this is the point. I was listening to these like, yeah, uh-huh, word, low-lens glasses, son. Star-Studded black chains, son.
Goldie and Ghost is him and you got his golden arms.
Oh, that was some duo right there. The dynamic duo. Play me some more Ghostface. In the Philippines, pick our rupees, bubbling strings, buy a chemical cream, we burn kerosene. In the Philippines, burning chemical cream? What?
Burning kerosene, biochemical. In the Philippines, pick our rupees, bubbling strings,
buy a chemical cream, we burn kerosene. Now listen, that's dope.
Like, sounded great.
I'm like nodding my head to it, and I would love to sing along with it, and I probably could learn those lyrics, but I would never have any fucking idea what I'm saying. It's like I'm like a white chick when I'm listening to Wu-Tang. It's like, you know how like white girls will just dance to anything, even if it's like, I'll rape you with my dick, girl. And no, they're just like, remember, oh, it's a good beat. Didn't Chappelle do that or something?
It was, well, I don't know about the Chappelle skit, but it was, I think it was Ying Yang Twins. It was white girls jamming to The Sweat Drip Down My Balls.
Right. Love that.
Yeah.
Like, and they, I don't even know whether they just didn't care or they
we
didn't know.
We should have had this teed up, but remember, like, you know, like, skeet, 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 skeet.
Yeah. wait till you see my dick. Like, just blatant, like,
is that
horrible.
The Winter song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Horrible shit. And but chicks, like, it had a good beat, and they were just like, I'm going to dance to it. That's
well,
kind of me.
Drip. We should have
like,
had that.
You take, you take it one more step back, like, I become a white girl when I'm listening to Wu-Tang, because I'm just like, yeah, kerosene in the Philippines and the Black African chain, because I think I'm cool listening to rap music.
This last one, I don't know where it came from. It's hard to hear, but this is probably going to be really hard for you guys to hear, but
yeah, we should.
It's blow like a steroid, pat down Dan Aykroyd.
Again, probably makes perfect sense to someone out there.
Dan Aykroyd?
I don't know. Did Dan Aykroyd do like a movie with the word Pat in it or something? Yeah. I don't fucking know. Literally complete gibberish.
Tuesdays on MTV, the show everyone has loved for 30 years is back for its, you guessed it, 30th season. It's epic. Epic is the word we're using to describe it this year. 30 of the shadiest characters are fighting over the biggest prize in challenge history. It's $1 million. A reality star would do anything for $10, I'm pretty sure. So if you want to find out what a reality star would do for $1 million, turn to the Challenge 30. It's older than most of you. All new. It's Tuesdays, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock Central, only on MTV. Our girl Cara Maria was on it last night, causing a scene, rocking a Saturday for the Boys t-shirt. So they're supporting us. Get out there. Watch them. Watch them pretty much sell their souls, I guess you could say. Sell their souls for $1 million. I know that's my price, too.
Only to be challenged by, most recently, probably the most incoherent gibberish in sports in a long time. And that was your boy Jameis Winston after winning the national championship. Florida State comes back, down huge against Auburn, second half comeback. Jameis leads his boys to the title. And then in his post game, right there on the field, he just, I don't know. It was almost like he had a stroke, and words were just coming out of his mouth. We'll play it in its entirety right now.
15 to go in this game. Final drive. What did you tell your teammates around you?
I said, guys, we didn't come here for no reason. I said, guys, this is ours, man. This is our, all the adversity we went through the first few quarters, it was ours.
Ours. It was ours.
He doesn't remember what he actually said.
We control our own destiny. Those men looked me in my eye, and they said, we got this, Jameis. And I said, I said, are you strong? They said, I'm strong if you're strong. And I said, we strong, man.
We strong, and then.
He was genuinely confused about what was going on.
Now we got to get into the God part.
After struggling through the first half, what was the biggest adjustment you guys made at halftime?
We had to go back to playing Florida State football. We came out here, we were letting us be bigger than the game. We were bigger than the game. Then we had to say, hey, let's play Florida State football, because can't nobody be bigger than this game. And we did that, and we came out victorious.
You had an embrace with your head coach, Jimbo Fisher. You've been through a lot with him this season. What did you guys share in that moment, Jameis?
We champions. We can say that we are champions together. And through everything that we went through all the haters, through every single thing, we came out victorious. And God did this.
What did you say to Jimbo, bro?
He's so blessed. Like, all the stuff that he handled with Ethan, he come out here and coach us. That touched me. And it's nobody but God. It's nobody.
Ethan being the reference to Jimbo's son, you said it once, you said it 100 times this season. If we're going to do it big, we're going to do it big then. How big is this moment?
It's the biggest. Happy birthday. My cousin in Afghanistan watching this game. See, over Winston. We're doing it for everybody. We're doing it big all over the country, all over the world. And I'm proud. I'm proud to say I'm a Florida State Seminole.
Congratulations, Jake.
Thank you.
Brett?
Hilarious. Now, this is a very funny topic for me, because let's call a spade here. All the fuss over this speech is blatantly racist. And people are trying to play like it's not. It just is. Like, AJ McCarron's racist-ass mom, when she tweeted, am I listening to English? That is a fucking racist comment. It's a funny comment, but let's be honest, that shit is racist. I mean, yes, easily like a white trash dude could have stepped up there and made no sense either. But when it's a black guy, it just, I don't know, it becomes a black thing. I mean, obviously, we all know me. I have no problem with funny racist jokes. If it's funny, it's not racist. That's my rule. But anybody out there trying to clown him and saying it's not a racist thing, they're just lying to themselves. When he said that God is blessed, he is so blessed. Yeah, bro, he's God. He creates the blessed. He provides the blessed stuff. He is filled with blessed. And when he said, we are, and then they said, and then they said to me, they said to me, and I said to them, if you strong, I'm strong. And then we strong.
I think that it's absolutely racist, but there's a component to the fact that I just do believe that James Winston might be the dumbest individual.
Yeah, black or white, he's dumb.
Of all time. Like, whatever that Wunderlich test is, like, I think this guy makes Vince Young look like a genius.
Did you see the clip K. Marco posted of Trent Dilfer talking to him?
It was, I don't think
Trent
so.
Dilfer went when Jameis was even younger. I mean, he's still only like 20 right now or some shit. When he was like a kid, like in camps. And Trent Dilfer was like praising him. He's like, you are going to be unbelievable. But he was saying, you know, you can get by on your athleticism, but you are so smart. You are smart as a whip. And if you want to take the next step, you need to exploit that. And it was cool because he called the national championship. He said, one day in the big scene, it's going to be 3rd and 7, and the pocket's going to hold, and you're not going to be able to scramble, and you're going to need to make the pinpoint throw to the right guy. And if you're smart, like I think you are, you're going to do it. And that's exactly what he did, to, like, keep the drive going to win the game.
Wow.
So it was a cool clip, like, because he just straight up predicted it. But it was funny because I'm always confused with quarterbacks because you do actually have to be, like, smart as fuck. Yeah. Like, you have to obviously just straight up know the playbook, which, like, I know a ton of athletes that, like, through growing up in high school that I was like, you could just probably never even memorize a playbook, let alone, like, read the people, know what plays to make, you know, options. But then it's also like, no, but you're simultaneously the dumbest person alive.
Well, we know your boy KFC is smart because he dropped his SAT scores on everybody.
Dude, I didn't even think that was a big deal. People would give me a hard time for it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you're like, guess my SAT scores, you, like, somebody even tweeted, they were like, well, you know they're pretty good because he's not going to put it out there.
I obviously did it because everyone think. I mean, people were guessing 980 on me. Then there were people who were guessing like 15 something, and I think they were taking a shot at me because they were young and grading it out of 2,400.
Right.
So that was, all right. That was my attempt to be like, I'm not a dumb fucking idiot, all right? All right?
What'd you get?
I can't remember, dude. I can't remember.
Yeah, sure you can.
No, I can't remember. I don't know what you're talking about. 1320. I don't even think that's like that much to brag about. Whatever. 660, 660. That's the reason I always remember.
Yeah.
Straight across the board, same exact score.
Right, but like literally, do you think that you could memorize?
Oh no,
playbook?
That's what I'm saying. That's why me taking shots at these guys for being dumb is hilarious because I definitely do not have the mental capacity for it. Maybe it's just like they spend all their brain power on football and then they
because that's what I'm saying. Like when that guy was asking Jameis Winston questions, it did not even look like it was processed.
Well, also,
like,
I mean, he literally just won the game.
Right.
He's still on the field.
But I think he just had a list of things like, I'm going to say Florida State football. I'm going to say God is blessed. And
that's why KG just went, anything is possible! Because he was like, I can't do a full speech.
Because they asked him, they were like, what did Jimbo Fisher say to you? And he was just like, he just was giving generic answers.
He just
said,
we Seminole football.
Right.
It was amazing. I mean, it's right up there with Ghostface just completely rambling words.
If he just said, plus the mural was dope at the end of it, I've been like that.
I got my African gold. We burning kerosene up in here. All right, let's get back to the rap. This is not even a lyric. This is just a song. And if you were down with like the early 90s West Coast scene, this song had it all, had everybody on it, and was just probably the most ridiculous song ever recorded.
And I don't think this ever really got mainstream.
As big as
I don't think it could have gotten any radio play because the whole
every song would have, every word would have been blurred out.
Leaked out. When I met you last night, baby. This is Ain't No Fun.
Before you opened up your gap, I had respect for your lady.
Here we go.
And you even lick my balls.
That's a real lyric.
Leave your number on the cabinet. And I promise, baby, I'll give you a call. And he goes on, 'cause I have never met a girl. That song, it's got Nate Dogg, it's got Corrupt, it's got, I think, Snoop's on it, I think Warren G's on it, I think everybody from the West Coast was on it. And all they're doing is talking about the most graphic ways to fuck a chick and her various holes.
I love that Nate, like, the way,
rapping about, like pun, ripping his prick through your hooters. When you're rapping, it's one thing. Nate doing his, like, soulful singing of, and you even licked my balls, because you gave me all your pussy. It's like, it's the sexual absurdity equivalent of the Wu-Tang torture scene, if you feel me. As absurd as Wu-Tang was with the violence there, Ain't No Fun is that absurd with the sex. When they're talking about, what does he say? It's me, Warren G, like, juggle these nuts in your mouth or some shit like that. It's just, it's the anti-feminism. If you could take the whole feminist movement, like, Ain't No Fun is probably 4 minutes that set feminism back, like, 200 years.
Yeah, and I think it has to be the most offensive, like, song to women. Like, there's lots of offensiveness going on, but I think that most women everywhere would be offended by that, and they would be offended to the maximum extent.
But that's the thing. Like, they're not. They're always, like, I mean, I would imagine this was like early 90s, probably, West Coast. I would imagine chicks were just bumping that shit. Like, just, I mean, the song is, it ain't no fun if the homies, I'm not going to have sex with you. It won't be enjoyable for me if you don't let all my other friends fuck you. That is the song in a nutshell. I mean, it's, I'm looking through the lyrics here. I mean, let's see. This isn't really all that offensive, but well, if Corrupt gave a fuck about a bitch, I'd always be broke. I'd never have no motherfucking endo to smoke. It's just, I mean, what a simple life rappers led. It's like, I don't care about women because I need to spend all my money on weed. If I have to worry about being in love with you, I can't just be high on endo all the time.
You, Big Cat, Smitty, and Fights have debated, or actually, I guess it was just Fights missed that one about, like, would you run train with your twin brother or something like that? Now, that's like the hypothetical that you got to be like, this is kind of weird, maybe, maybe not. Rappers, like, lived by that code.
That's, they all ran train all the time.
Death Row Records were like, that's the only thing we're interested in. Having sex with a woman that will have sex with Warren and Nate Dogg and Snoop. Everybody.
Oh, I love the ending when I think it's Snoop talking and he's like, and then I see the same bitch that was in the homie Nate Dogg's video on the Warren G video. Amazing. And Warren G finishes it up. So get on your knees and then start juggling these motherfucking nuts in your mouth. It's just so simple, so offensive, and such fire. And then the pun and the Terror Squad carried the torch. They were like, we're going to continue what Nate Dogg and Warren G and all those guys started, and we are going to have gangbangs with women. We're going to carry that.
But women can get in on the fun, too. They can also have some. We're going to get into Nicki Minaj now.
Okay, I get it. Let me think. I guess it's my turn. Maybe it's time to put this pussy on your sideburns.
Let's start off by talking about female rappers. I hate female rappers. I liked Lauryn Hill. Thought she was really good. On the Fugees, she was like,
she hated you. She hates white people.
She hates white folks. I think she said something like she would kill her baby instead of, like, raise it in a world of white people or something. Or maybe that was Tommy Hilfiger with black people. I don't know. That all happened around the same time. Yeah. It was like Hilfiger and Lauryn Hill were just going to, like, fight to the death and proclaim, like, which race is more dominant or something.
My money's on Lauryn Hill with that one.
Yeah, I would take Lauryn Hill, too. She's a badass bitch. Remember her in Sister Act 2? Fire movie. Listen, if you're roughly my age, if you have a grandma from that period who didn't watch Sister Act 2, I would be astounded. Sister Act and Sister Act 2 were the quintessential grandma movies. It went right up there with Diagnosis Murder on the TV show. I remember just sitting with my grandma chilling. She would just rip through like 50 Kent cigarettes. She used to get them off the Indian reservation so there'd be no tax. She would just rip cartons of Kent cigarettes, watch Sister Act and Diagnosis Murder. And, it was a great time.
Was it Diagnosis Murder? It was Murder, She Wrote.
No, well, that's like the classic one.
Oh, okay.
But Diagnosis Murder with Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, right.
The doctor, like, detective. That shit is grandma to the max. Speaking of grandmas, let's get back to Nicki Minaj and female rappers. It's always weird. I don't like a lot of them, but every now and then I do like – I don't really like Nicki Minaj, but I like some of her songs. I love this song. I don't even know – what is, it's hard for me to figure out what song it's from. Play it again.
Okay, I get it. Let me think. I guess it's my turn. Maybe it's time to put this pussy on your side.
It might not even be her song. This might be a song she's just featured on.
This is Bedrock. Lil Wayne and all those people. But I love the song, so when her verse comes on, I'm just singing along with it. So here I am once again. I'm no longer talking about fucking a corpse as a big black man, but I'm still a 30-year-old white dude talking about putting pussy on your sideburns. So right off the bat, this is a weird situation. You know what the best was? Doing It by LL Cool J. I always rap the girl lyrics. I want to rap the LL version, but I find myself saying, I'm going to call you Big Daddy and scream your name. Matter of fact, I can't wait for your candy rain. And every time I'm like, no, cut it out. This is one of these times I've talked about this before. About 5 times a day, I have an irrational fear that I'm on a Truman Show type situation where someone is filming me and the entire world has a feed in watching me. So like anytime I masturbate and anytime I'm like rapping, I just shut it down. It's like I'll be in the middle of doing it and I'm screaming about candy rain and then I'm just like, never mind. And I'm like kind of looking around, change the song, and I'm like, well, I hope the Truman Show people, maybe that got lost in the, maybe it's going to be edited out or something. So, yeah, it's always strange when I'm listening to female rappers to begin with. Then they're talking about putting pussy on your sideburns. What the fuck does that mean? Actually, let's rap genius it. Let's do it because, I mean, I thought Is That Your Ass or Your Mama Have Reindeer was weird enough. So I looked that up, and I kind of got some clarification on that. So let's look up, all right, Young Money featuring Lloyd, Bedrock. Let's scroll down to Nicki Minaj. Maybe it's time to put this pussy on your sideburns.
Okay, I get it. Let me think. I guess it's my turn. Maybe it's time to put this pussy on your sideburns.
Pussy. Pussy.
This is the definition from rapgenius.com. She seems to be trying to imply that you are giving her oral sex, a la, quote, before I put this pussy on your mustache. I'm guessing that was probably from Lil' Kim. If one had to guess about a female rapper rapping about pussy and mustache... No, Emil. Remember her?
I was going to say it's either Lil' Kim or Foxy Brown, but...
No, Emil.
Emil.
How are we going to get around on your bus pass before I put this pussy on your mustache? Right. Emil, what a fucking weird experiment that was. That was just Jay-Z trying to have a female rapper that just bombed.
Yeah.
But she probably got like paid off that for a couple tracks.
Yeah, I don't know. That definitely ended badly, though, because I remember they did that... Rockefeller family.
She wasn't invited
and,
or whatever.
And he was like, no, we just did a whole like posse record and she only spit 4 bars.
Still don't know what a bar is.
No, I have no idea.
I'm going to spit some bars for you at the end of the show. Keep listening because we're going to conclude with a KFC, Geno Smith, Jay-Z rap diss. But in the meantime, let's get back to the definition of pussy on your sideburns. However, to me, this is Mr. Rap Genius, the editor of Rap Genius, giving his personal opinion here. However, to me, quote, pussy on your sideburns evokes a face fuck. Nicki Minaj stated in an interview that she has a, quote, fat pussy. Thus, if she sits on your face, her vagina would engulf your head from sideburn to sideburn. Folks, I'm reading this for the first time.
I kind of want to stop.
I'm reading this for the first time as you hear it as well.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
I am downright appalled by what I just read. I've said a lot of things on the blog and on these podcasts. Talking about Nicki Minaj's fat VJ and how it stretches from sideburn to sideburn because it engulfs your head.
I regret this entire podcast.
It's probably
your sideburns.
That's, I mean, your
it
whole
doesn't
head.
Make, what is going
I
on?
I mean, logistically, too. Like, it would just, if your whole face was engulfed, you probably wouldn't even really be able to get to the proper places with the proper instruments. How am I going to get my tongue on your C if my sideburns and my face is completely engulfed by your P? I mean, that's female rappers for you, though. That's the kind of shit you're going to encounter. I just don't know.
And Foxy Brown had the Ill Nana.
Yeah, the whole album about how ill her punani was. That's a great word for white guys to be talking about. Like, I'm always like, is it Punani? Punani? How would the Jamaicans say it? Oh, I'll just say Il Nana. I can't screw that up. God. Female rappers and white dudes just do not mix. Time to put this pussy on your sideburns. That doesn't even make sense. Oh, apparently it does because she has a fat pee. Christ. Next topic because I'm very upset right now.
Well, let me tell you something. You might got more cash than me, but you ain't got the skills to eat a nigga's ass like me.
Your boy, Can I Bust? Cannabis was part of that golden age of hip-hop where I was real black. I was real urban. I can remember listening to Angie Martinez on Hot 97, Battle of the Beats.
Angie Mar.
Battle of the Beats, where, you know, there was always like a challenger in a rap battle because there was always people battling.
It was like
back
then. Freestyle Fridays before Freestyle Fridays on BET.
But
like,
then,
that shit is old school. The Freestyle Fridays on BET is old school. And this is
that predates that. Right, right. This was the originator of it all. So, and I'm sure there's probably like old school.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
Who are like, no, bro, you're a noob.
Right.
Except they wouldn't say that if they were hardcore rap fans. Whatever. I'm spinning out of control here. I remember listening to Angie Martinez and second round knockout. Cannabis diss to LL Cool J was like, I was legitimately excited. I was like on pins and needles. I had my tape deck ready and I pressed play and record at the same time and I recorded it off the radio and I was like, this is like, I remember being like, this is like the most influential song like ever made. This is like, someone just came.
Cannabis was a flash in the pan, but when he was hot, he was hot.
Dude, I mean, he got, I think LL, we're talking just songs on their own. I still think Second Round Knockout was the better song.
Over
Jack the Ripper? I don't know. I mean,
Rip
the Jacker. At the time, I remember being like, oh, I'm on Team LL. But I haven't listened to Rip the Jacker like ever again.
Yeah.
I think he just kind of had the benefit of going second. And he responded to things like, you ain't got the skills to eat a dude's ass like me.
Well, let me tell you something. You might got more cash than me, but you ain't got the skills to eat a nigga's ass like me.
Yeah, that was probably a mistake.
Remember in The Princess Bride when, what's his name, Vizzini, kept saying inconceivable?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Inigo Montoya goes, I do not think that word means what you think it means. There was not one person in Cannabis's camp that could be like, I do not think you want to say that. I do not think eating a nigga's ass means what you think it means. Like, I get where you're coming from.
Was that like a trend he was trying to start? You know, like
I will. Well, Mike Tyson the whole time is in there. I will eat MCs. Like, okay, you can eat the MC, just don't eat his ass.
Right.
Because that's a little weird. Because now I'm thinking about you giving rim jobs to dudes. Not your best moment lyrically. Also, not his best moment lyrically. Next clip.
And I'ma make the name Cannabis a name you fear. Y'all niggas are scared. I'm your worst nightmare scared. That's double for niggas who ain't mathematically aware.
Catch that?
In case you didn't catch it, this is common in Cannabis. Two of what I guess people who like hip-hop would say are the smartest rappers. Like, they're the cerebral rappers out there. Common was like always true hip-hop and Complex and shit. Cannabis was always like rhyming about science and mathematics. So he says, I'm your worst nightmare squared, meaning to the second power. We're talking exponents here. And then he clarifies, that means double for those of you who are not mathematically aware. That's not true. Double, times two and to the second power, not the same thing. And this is where the white boys, we win. Like, yes, okay, guilty as charged. I needed to go on Rap Genius and look up, is that your ass or your mama half reindeer? I did not know what you fine gentlemen were talking about. Now it's time for you guys.
Is that your ass or your mama half reindeer?
Now it's time for you guys to go on Wikipedia and look up the definition of exponents and the mathematical theorems that go along with raising something to the second power. It does not mean double.
PEMDAS.
Please, my dear Aunt Sally was the one I rocked with. What? And then PEMDAS is the other one?
Yeah.
That's, please, my dear Aunt Sally, just kind of completely forgets the E.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, that one doesn't work.
But that was like what I was told.
Also, P.E. Mordsora.
That was what I was thinking. Okay. That one is stupid. Why would we include the ors in there and make up a like a hard
That's actually
word.
Hard to remember. Yeah. Although, I mean, I remember it, so it clearly worked.
That sounds like a made-up language, like from like Lord of the Rings. Like, P-Mordsora. Where was the ring forged? In the mountains of P-Mordsora.
I hope somebody makes a movie, like, you know, like a Star Trek thing, and it's like Klingons are speaking.
Yeah,
and, like, and there's like subtitles underneath, but I want what they actually say, like the key phrase to be P.E. Mordsora.
Yeah. Name one other podcast where you can get Nicki Minaj talking about pussy on your sideburns and then get...
Okay, I get it. Let me think. I guess it's my turn. Maybe it's time to put this pussy on your sideburns.
And then get Klingon Star Trek talk and Lord of the Rings talk. Name another podcast that does that. You can't. That, to me, that's mail time in a nutshell, really. That is my list of... I mean, there's a lot more. Don't get me wrong. I was tweeting out, like, give me some absurd lyrics. And somebody told me that Lil B, who's, like, one of these new rappers who I don't really follow, said something like, bitches suck my dick because I look like J.K. Rowling, the chick who wrote Harry Potter.
I looked up what he looks like. I don't see it.
There's no resemblance to J.K.?
I don't see it. I mean, she's like a 40, 50-year-old white woman. And he's like, you know, what you think a guy named Lil B would look like. I don't see the physical resemblance.
That I might – I'm going to – I might address that one next episode because that might deserve. I could do a whole hour on that rap line alone right there. And so that's my absurd rap lyrics. There's so much more. Let me know. Email me. What do you got?
How about your arch nemesis, your current arch nemesis right now? Just
38 revolve like the sun round the earth.
Yeah.
Tryna play hard, get you found round the dirt.
Yeah, not Jay's finest moment. The sun revolving around the earth is, I think.
38 revolve like the sun round the earth.
Sun round the earth. He said it with such confidence.
You know, like, he was like, nailed it. It's like, no, bro, I think Copernicus figured that shit out, or Galileo, or one of those Italian dudes.
Or you could just be a person. Who knows? Come on. Are you like sitting here like, oh, we're spinning around that thing. Come
flat
on.
Flat like the earth. No, no, bro. We disprove these things.
Night after night, two people lay in the same bed. You and your girl. One's whining, it's so too hard over here. One's complaining, it's too soft. I need this new mattress. I need that new mattress. Well, right now, what Helix Sleep is doing is you can buy a mattress online customized for both of you. Each side. You each get your own so the whining ceases to exist. You get it for a couple $100 rather than a couple $1,000. You go to helixsleep.com. You answer a few simple questions based on key preferences, and they build you your own brand new custom bed, like celebrity stuff we're talking about here. It gets to your door in about a week. Shipping is totally free. Helix customers, you know what they're doing? They're reporting a 30% improvement in overall sleep quality. Right now, I'm at about a zero, so 30% is great. You get to keep the mattress for 100 nights to try it out for free. If you don't like it, you call them. They pick it up for you for free again and give you a total refund. No questions asked. How do you get this amazing bed? The sleep pod I'm talking about, you go to helixsleep.com/KFC. You get $50 off your order. We're hooking you up with a great night's sleep. It's helixsleep.com/KFC. $50 off your order. One more time, helixsleep.com/KFC. $50 off your order. Good night.
All right, so that's my absurd rap lyrics list. I hope you enjoyed it. I know it's probably not for everyone, so I'm going to bring it back to the mail time themes here. We're going to jump into our every week, our running theme of Stoolie of the Week and Monkey of the Week. This week's Stoolie of the Week. I always say week so many times when I do this bit. I need to learn how to introduce this better. This week's Stoolie of the Week is the New Zealand dude who carved out a sleeping space in the ceiling to avoid doing work. A man accused of going to great lengths to avoid doing work, including carving out a sleeping space in his office ceiling, has won his case for unjustified dismissal. His former manager told the authority that during Mr. Hudson's 19 months with the company, he had caught him sleeping during work hours in a space he carved through the ceiling of the third floor of their building on numerous occasions. The use of the space was a safety hazard, as the ceiling had collapsed inwards and the structural integrity of the crossbeams had been compromised. The company also told the authority that they quoted him for $37,000 of damage to the ceiling space. However, it was unclear whether all the damage had been caused by Mr. Hudson. In addition to using the ceiling space for napping, Mr. Hudson also hid in the building during work hours, slept in car parks when he was supposed to be delivering parts, and refused to follow management instructions and drove the forklift despite being unlicensed. You, sir, Mr. Hudson, what's his first name? Francis Hudson, you are Stoolie of the Week. You carved out a sleeping space in your ceiling. you hid in the building. I mean, you like who hasn't done that? People just straight up hide in the bathroom instead of doing work. You slept in the parking lot in your car, and you just drove around the forklift unlicensed. I mean, it's trying to get fired. It's straight up Costanza.
I feel like there are probably people with jobs that involve like carving things that like are trying to mail time and not do that. And he's like, you know, it's just like you just don't want to do whatever you're supposed to be doing because that is probably a lot of work.
There's,
to, like, build
there's some
this little
guy.
Bed.
There's some guy out there whose job is for some reason carve ceilings, and he was like, I'd hate doing that. And this dude Hudson was like, I'm gonna carve the shit out of the ceiling. I mean, I don't even understand carving the ceiling. How would you get in there? Or do you get in from the fourth floor and go down? It's baffling, and I love that he got off. He won. You are stoolie of the week, bro. There was 37 grand of damage to the ceiling, and he was just like, nah, that wasn't all me. He's like, well, I'm pretty sure the vast majority was the dude carving a sleeping cubby in there. Pretty sure the court can rest assured that, all right, 35,000 of the 37,000 was probably his fault.
I can't believe.
Dude got off.
There's a lot of space in buildings where you can find. You couldn't find like a janitor's closet.
Yeah, just,
you had to be like,
there's already like little places to hide. You don't need to carve in the ceiling. Go in the handicap stall like every other cube monkey in the world. No. Francis Hudson took it to the next level.
Do it big though, man. You're going to mail time? Mail time hard.
Monkey of the week. None other than your boy, J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith, his latest antics, untying people's shoes. I don't even know what to say anymore. Because you know what? Actually, you know what the thing is? Bro, play like you did last year. Sixth man of the year. Second option. 22 points a game, whatever it was. Untie your shoes, other people's shoes, play barefoot, throw shoes at people. I don't give a fuck. When you're playing statistically like the worst player in the NBA, cut out the bullshit, dude. I also love that they fined him 50 grand. Because they were just like, enough's enough. Like, this is just the culmination of everything. It was continual unsportsmanlike conduct. It was like, you're smoking weed, you're fucking with people's shoes, you're always in the club, I think you banged Rihanna. Just give me 50 grand and cut it out. David Stern's probably like, I cannot wait to retire. Get me the fuck away from this clown.
When is he done?
I think he's done after this year. He might even be done right now.
I think he's
I don't
done
know.
In like February, isn't it? Wasn't
like
it like
halfway
right in the
through
middle
the year.
Of the season? I think he was just trying to hold out for the All-Star
that
break.
That is going
to
be – he's going to like
– just wants one more All-Star game?
He's going to light a cigar and pop some champagne. Like, I do not have to deal with J.R. Smith anymore. How about J.R. Smith being fined $1 million by the team he signed with in China during the lockout? How do you get fined millions? The Sultan of South Beach, Brian Windhorst, tweeted that the other day. They're like, he's been fined seven figures by his Chinese team. And I sat there counting on my fingers. I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? 7 figures? What? It's $1 million. That's crazy to be fined that. Like, J.R. Smith obviously has a lot of money.
How much
like,
was
not,
he getting
not
paid
that
to
much
play
money.
In?
Yeah. I mean, his latest contract is like $24 million. Like, you cut that in half with taxes and shit. Like, taking away $1 million out of like 12, 15 is no joke. That's a lot of fucking dough. I don't care who you are.
Right. No, I mean, like, yeah, if you're going to find $1 million out of 24, 1/24, then you think you probably, if you get paid bi-weekly, you get 26 paychecks. Like, getting fined a whole paycheck.
A lot of fucking dough.
It's a lot of money. Not to mention it's $1 million. I think we all – I'm trying to explain how much $1 million is. And I'm like, I think we all understand $1 million is a lot of money.
All right. So there's your Stoolia Monkey of the Week. We ran down – we talked about the polar vortex. We talked about commuting. We talked about the puke stench-filled donut shop of love. I'm going to close it out now with a Hove diss track. This was written by a Stoolie.
I wish I had a beat for this.
So do I. He messaged me on Facebook. This was sent to me. This is a Jay-Z, Geno Smith rap battle diss track written by a Stoolie, sent to me on Facebook. He says it's from Herm. So here we go.
It's going to go acapella. No,
I'm going to rip it acapella. Fuck a beat. The name's Kevin Clancy, or your boy KFC, blogging at the stool, that's where you'll find me. I eat donuts all day while exercising nothing. My dog gets bros laid, that's my dude Duncan. See here, Mr. Hove, you probably doubt my rap skill. You've probably never even heard of me, but after this diss track, you will. Black KFC here, I ain't talking about chicken. After a rhyme and some Entenmann's, it's my fingers that I'm licking. Just some background on me, but you could have found that on Google. Just like the pics of your client and his cheating black noodle. Enough with the jokes, here comes the facts. Your boy KFC used to roll with the blacks. To say I didn't jam out would make you a liar. But after you handled Gino, how'd you even get hired? You ain't a G anymore, but you still rap about bricks. Why don't you throw a line about your client tweeting dicks? They got 19-year-old girls asking for nudes. Meanwhile, Nick Insider is like, I fucking hope so too, dude. We'll just stop it right there. I'm going to rock out. I dropped the mic. I just won the battle. I just be-rabbited. I'm in the cellar or the basement or wherever it's called in 8 Mile. Drop the mic. Fuck Free World. 313. That's your boy, KFC, spitting hot fire flames.
Mail time.
Hour of your day. It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
You listen to KFC Radio.